Yes, and we say today, blessed be the Lord God Almighty who does reign forevermore. And one of these days, our Lord's coming back to take charge of this earth and how we look forward to being with Him. This is the Mercies of God broadcast coming to you from Little Rock, Arkansas. Now we want you to bow with us for a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, how thankful we are that we can say, blessed be the Lord God Almighty, because Thou art blessed. Thou art our God, Thou art our Father, Thou art our Lord and our Redeemer. And we praise Thee today for the privilege we have of knowing Thee. We ask, O our Lord, that Thou wilt unctionize this broadcast and use it for Thy glory and honor. We pray that Thou wilt give listening ears out there, especially to those who need to hear Thy truth at this present hour. We thank You for this great privilege that we have of broadcasting Thy truth, and we ask Thy blessing upon it. And so, Lord, we pray, bless the radio audience. Thou dost know their needs, every one of them. Some of them are distressed and discouraged and downhearted and despondent. And, Lord, we lift them to Thee, and we ask Thee that Thou wilt cause them to realize that Thou art their all-sufficiency, and then to lean hard upon Thee. For those in the prisons, we pray that Thou wilt reach down and save them if they need Thee. And for those that do know Thee, Lord, strengthen them as only Thou art able. For those out there in the armed forces, protect them, Lord, and watch over them. And, oh, we beg Thee again, bring an awakening across America as only Thou art able. Now glorify Thyself in all that's said and done, and thank You for this privilege. We ask it, Lord, in Thy precious name. Amen. This is the Mercies of God radio broadcast coming to you from Little Rock, Arkansas. This is Pastor Peter Nortier, or Nortier, speaking to you, and we're delighted to be in your home at this time. Some of you here in the morning, some in the afternoon, some at night, some during the week. Whenever it is that we come into your home, we count it a privilege to be a guest in your home. But you know, the only way we can find out if you're listening to us is for you to drop us a letter or a card. We want you to do that if you will. Your letters and cards are the lifeline of this broadcast, and we need to hear from you. And we just hope and pray that you'll just sit down and drop us a letter or a card this week. Our mailing address is very simple. It's the Mercies of God Association, 9811 Interstate 30, Suite 4, Little Rock, Arkansas, 72209. Keep that in mind if you will. The Mercies of God Radio, Mercies of God Association, 9811 Interstate 30, Suite 4, Little Rock, Arkansas, 72209. Now, with the second thing we want you to do is pray for us. Pray if you're on praying ground. If you're not on praying ground, there's something wrong with your relationship between you and God, because God's people do pray. The third thing, tell your friends and neighbors about the broadcast. Give them the call letters of the station, if you will. And then remember that you be sure and tell them what it is. And if you want to, invite them over and have a time of fellowship. And then you can listen to the broadcast together and have a time of fellowship afterwards. Many are doing that. But remember now, your letters and cards are the lifeline of this broadcast. So we want to hear from you this week. Our mailing address, one more time, the Mercies of God Association, 9811 Interstate 30, Suite 4, Little Rock, Arkansas, 72209. Let's get quiet there around the radio now. Let's listen to another number, then we'll bring you a message from the Word of God. Remember, we'll be looking to hear from you this week, so don't disappoint us. Take your Bibles now and turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 19. And I'm going to begin reading verse 41 down through verse 44. And when he was come near, he beheld the city, and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee. They shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Our subject today, the heart of Christ. Today we shall study another aspect of our blessed Redeemer, and my hope is that all of us will be dealt with by the Holy Spirit as we listen to that which we are to hear. The average conception of Christianity today is a perverted, lazy conception that accomplishes nothing but prays about as if it were doing really great things. It is this which is affecting the church of today, and it is creeping into all the churches until we are in such a rut that is deadly, and it will lead to ruin. If you are truly saved at this hour, you have the same things in your heart as our Lord had in His great heart, even at this hour. If you are not saved, your actions show without error your falseness with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to look at the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ for just a few moments. Now, to understand what we're talking about, I want to give you a meaning of the term heart. Now, the heart is a muscle.
The heart is an organic muscle which pumps or beats on the average of 72 times a minute, 4,320 times an hour, 100,000 times a day, or 40 million times a year. It exerts enough energy every 24 hours to raise a 2-pound weight 12 miles into the air. Now, this is the organic heart that is keeping you alive at this hour. Now, that's one meaning of the term heart. However, there's another meaning, and the common and literary usage of the term heart is this. The heart is the seat of the affections and of the passions as distinguished from the intellect and the will. Now, the literary use of the heart declares that the heart is the source of wit, courage, grief, pleasure, and kindred emotions. Now, this is all on the outside. This is the meaning of the term heart. A year or so ago, I suffered a heart attack. And I've been recuperating from it ever since, and I find out that I can't do what I used to do because my heart is not as good as it used to be. But I get along without it, or with it, as best I can. And so, if you'll notice a difference in my preaching, perhaps it's slowed down a little bit, this will explain the reason. But the Lord's been gracious to me, and I just praise Him for allowing me to continue to come into your homes by the means of radio. Now, as we've looked at the meaning of the term heart, let's look now at the biblical description of the heart of man for just a moment. The biblical description reveals the heart to be the center or seat of man's moral being, the source and center of the outward life, the character, motives, and love from which spring the actions that flow as a fountain. Now, this is a biblical description of the heart. Now, God says a great deal about the heart of man. Take your Bibles now and turn back with me, if you will, to Jeremiah chapter 17. And I want you to look with me at verses 9 and 10. The book of Jeremiah chapter 17 and verses 9 and 10, where we read these words. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Now, this is what God says about the heart in the Old Testament. Now, take your Bibles again, and let's see what God says about the heart in the New Testament. So, when people come along and say, well, so-and-so's got a good heart, then you just remember one thing. They are going contrary to what the Scripture says with regard to man's heart. In Mark chapter 7, I should say, Mark 7, verse 21 down through verse 23, we read, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Now, here's the natural character of the heart of man in the sight of God. Now, turn again in Matthew chapter 12, and we find in verse 34, the Word of God says very clearly, again, something about the heart of man. Listen to it. In Matthew chapter 12, I should say, and we see in verse 34, we read these words, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now, what God is telling us is this, that the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked, and the issues of life flow from the heart. Now, this means that man's thought, conduct, and speech comes from the heart, and according to the Word of God, it is a cesspool of evil. Now, that's not hard to understand. In Matthew chapter 5, again, verse 27 and 28, the Word of God says these things. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. So you see, the heart of man is deceitful, it's desperately wicked, it is a cesspool of evil, because man is a totally depraved individual, and man needs a new heart given to him by God. Now let's look at the heart of Christ for just a moment. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, you have the heart of Christ set forth before us. Listen to it if you will. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You see, the Lord Jesus had a pure heart. Then in John chapter 8, and verse 46, we see some more on the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was pure without sin. In John chapter 8 and verse 46, we read, Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Now my Lord had a heart that was pure and undefiled. It was not a sinful heart, because Christ was not born a sinner. We are. The Lord Jesus Christ was born pure and spotless and without sin. And yet we find that the Lord God of heaven became sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Not only was the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ pure and undefiled, but we find also that the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ was filled with a compassion for the lost. Again, John chapter 8, look with me, verses 1 through 11, and we find here is the story of the woman taken in adultery. She was captured in that very act. And then in John chapter 8, and we find verse 10 and 11, we read, when Jesus lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. What a precious reality this is. This is the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was seen in the method of handling of various cases. Here was the woman taken in adultery. Now turn back again to Luke chapter 19, and in verses 1 through 10, you have the discourse of the Lord Jesus Christ with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a rich man, and the Lord Jesus Christ came to him, and he said to Zacchaeus, who was in a tree waiting to see Christ, he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And then in verse 9, Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now what are we telling you? We see here the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ with regard to poor lost sinners. My Lord doesn't condemn the individual, my friend. He wants you to be saved, because the Lord Jesus said, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. No matter who you are, what your condition is, what sin you have committed, the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ is a compassionate heart. It's a loving heart. And the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ yearns to have you come to know him as Lord and Savior. Because as I've said before, my Lord has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Now my Lord also not only has a heart for sinners, but we see he handled them in various cases. The woman taken in adultery, he had compassion on her. The discourse with Zacchaeus, he had compassion on him. And then in Luke chapter 19 and verse 41 through 44, the Lord Jesus Christ wept over the city of Jerusalem, because the Lord Jesus Christ knew what was going to happen to that city. You see, my Lord knows all, because he understands all, for he has created all things. And all things work together after the counsel of God's own will. And the Lord Jesus being God, he knows exactly what's going to happen to every individual on the face of this earth, and when it's going to happen, and he knows the destiny of every person that's ever lived or will ever live on the face of this earth. The compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ and the greatness of his heart is seen in that he came to the city in Jerusalem, and it says this, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. And that means he gave great sobs from the deepest recesses of his soul, and he said these words, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee. They shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Now what in the world are we talking about? Here we see the Lord Jesus Christ prophesying what would happen to the city of Jerusalem. And you know, my friend, in 70 A.D., that happened exactly as the Lord Jesus Christ prophesied. The blood ran down the streets of the city of Jerusalem. Over 1,100,000 people were crucified on the walls by the Roman soldiers. And then when the city was set on fire, and we find the gold melted and went down between the walls and the cracks of the rocks, and they destroyed that entire city to get the gold and silver that they were after. And thousands upon thousands of people perished. And the reason? They did not listen to the preaching and teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now what happened to the city of Jerusalem is going to happen to this world because God now commands all men everywhere to repent, for he has appointed a day in which he will judge this world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And beloved, that man is the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Oh, I hope and pray that you do. Now, the Lord Jesus has a great heart. We find he had a heart which was pure and undefiled. He had a heart of compassion for the lost. And he also has a heart that would not compromise nor condone evil. Now, Pastor, what in the world are you talking about? In Matthew chapter 27, verses 36 down through 39, we read about the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. It wavered not in the face of his own death. Matthew chapter 27, verse 36, we read, "And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." My Lord would not waver one iota. In Matthew 27, verse 36, we see he did not flinch one bit, but we went to the cross as he was instructed to do and as it was ordained for him to do, and he didn't waver one iota. And this is a heart that would not compromise nor condone evil. Not only did he waver not in the face of his own death, but we find also this is what he did. He warned the Pharisees of the doom, their inevitable doom. In Matthew chapter 23, beginning with verse 23 down through verse 28, our Lord says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. You blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." This is what our Lord does. He warned the Pharisees of their inevitable doom. His heart is a heart which would not condone or compromise evil. Then we see it wavered not in the face of his own death. He warned the Pharisees of their own inevitable doom. But now listen again. The heart of the Lord Jesus Christ also will not flinch in the day of judgment. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 down through verse 23, we read, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Here you see the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will not flinch in the day of judgment. And my friend, I want to say to you very kindly, the Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. And my friend, if you haven't repented and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your absolute, all-sufficient Lord and Savior, this is what's awaiting you, and my Lord will not flinch from it when it takes place. And then we see also that with the Lord Jesus Christ has a heart which is grieved by the actions of believers at this present hour. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30 down through verse 32, the Word of God brings this out for our learning. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, we read, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Now I'm going to ask you a question. Are you a believer listening to me at this hour? What about you? Do you hold grudges down in your heart for years? Some of you are carrying them at this present hour. Certain things have happened to you a number of years ago, and you just can't forget them, can you? Well, my friend, if you can't forget them, you haven't forgiven. And remember one thing, that we are to forgive as well as we are forgiven. And the Lord Jesus Christ is a heart has a heart which is grieved by the actions of the believers at this present hour. Yet the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ wants individuals to come to know Him. I wonder at this present hour, is there someone out there, you wonder if the Lord God of heaven cares for you? Yes, my friend, He does. He came from heaven's glory to come to this sin-cursed earth to be your substitute and sin-bearer, and that through Him you might have everlasting life. The greatest thing that can happen to you, if it ever does, is for the Lord Jesus to reach down and save you. Now remember, you've got to come to Him as a poor, lost sinner. If you're a poor, lost sinner, my Lord will save you, just like He saved that woman taken in adultery. But if you're a hypocrite, He'll send you to hell, because my Lord will not condone hypocrisy, and He frowns upon it. Oh, my friend today, listen, go to the Lord Jesus Christ, whoever you be. If you're a Christian and you have sin in your heart, you go to Christ and ask Him to forgive it. If you're a sinner, you go to Christ and ask Him to forgive it. Both of you will receive and be received by the Lord Jesus Christ and will be redeemed by Him in a marvelous manner. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter North here saying goodbye, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late.